This is Jay Sekulow. Some developing news on the case to free Christian pastor John Saul.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. On the broadcast on Monday, we mentioned the case involving Pastor John Saul, and I wanted to give you an update and really devote some time to it today because it's a really important case. We've handled a series of cases involving those that are being persecuted for their faith. We've handled cases, two cases out of Iran. We've handled cases out of Turkey. We have handled cases out of Sudan. Now we have a case out of China. Pastor Saul is a U.S. permanent resident. He's lived in the United States for 30 years. His wife and kids are all American citizens. He was wrongfully convicted and sentenced in China. He was working for decades in China and in Burma on the border, providing aid for the poor, sharing the love of the gospel, but also establishing schools for kids that were impoverished. And Pastor Saul was arrested and imprisoned by Chinese authorities as part of a more increased crackdown on Christians in China, which has been an ongoing issue. So the pastor's wife and two sons, all U.S. citizens from North Carolina, desperately want their father freed. We have gotten involved in the case just a few months back. He's been in prison, by the way, since March of 2017. His health is deteriorating. He's lost over 50 pounds. He's forced to share a cell with a dozen inmates, only one bed. We're representing the family, aggressively working internationally, but also domestically, including in the House, in the Senate, at the White House, and getting as much global support as we can. And we've had some real movement. But I want to first kind of set the stage for what we're talking about here. And let me start with Jordan. This has been an issue for us, these kind of cases. Talk about the problem of persecution. That's why we have our whole Be Heard project.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's very important that we engage people. Obviously, different levels throughout these processes and these cases. And then we have, you know, we have the big picture issue where we're looking at, we work on at the UN always, the idea of state-sponsored persecution, specific groups which are engaged in persecution, non-state actors engaged in persecution at a widespread level. And then we have our specific individuals that we represent as the American Center for Law and Justice or through our European Center for Law and Justice. And so all these different levels of advocacy are important, whether it was the broad persecution by groups like ISIS, the instances of a group like Al-Shabaab or Boko Haram, or in China where there's been a massive crackdown on the Christian church. And then we have a specific representation here with Pastor Saw, who is, and again, an American resident and with an American family, so we can kind of personalize what is a big story always, your Chinese government cracking down on Christians, and this is a government with 1.3 billion people in it. Just to specifically point out an individual who's going through that persecution right now and whose family happens to be in the United States.
Let me go to Than quickly on this before we go to a break. And Than, that is, what is the, you know, we've gotten good congressional support before. We're going to get into the particulars in a moment. But generally, these issues reach bipartisan support.
Yeah, absolutely. We always reach out to Republicans and Democrats on these issues. And Jay, I would expect that the support for Pastor Saw would be on both sides of the aisle again. But look, as we come up on the two-year anniversary, really, we're at the two-year anniversary of Pastor Saw's imprisonment, and we're just getting involved, Jay. But now is the time for that engagement to happen. You mentioned Pastor Saw's family. I know we're going to get into some details, but you want to talk about some good advocates for their father. Had the honor to spend time last week with his wife, Jamie, his sons, Ben and Amos. Jay, they are going to be the key, along with our advocates, to bringing their husband and father home. And I do think that we're going to have support on both sides of the aisle. Republicans and Democrats are going to call for Pastor Saw's return.
I know that we already have support of the president and the vice president. I had the opportunity to share this a little bit with them and both engage. These issues have been a very big concern for the administration, but it's also, as Stan said, it's been a bipartisan concern in the House and the Senate. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into the details of this. We're going to hear from one of the pastor's children. So we want to make this is the day to make this case a personal case. It's not an abstract case. We've got cases all over the globe. But this is one where an individual and his family, Americans, we want to be able to have you connect with them. And that's what we're going to do on the broadcast. We're taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And also, we'll get take comments that come in by Facebook and Periscope. But we really want to spend the time today talking about this particular case, getting you all the information as you will now start seeing it in the news in the days ahead. And again, we're in a matching challenge campaign. This is exactly why you should be supporting the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. You could do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
We have a petition up at aclj.org, a petition to free Christian pastor John Saw, and we're urging you to sign it. You could do that at aclj.org. Cece Howell is a senior counsel at the ACLJ. She's handling this case. She leads the teams that handle a lot of these cases involving Christian persecution. This is the latest one. Let's talk about the facts of the case. Let's get everything set, who this man is, lived in the United States for a long time, has been working in China for decades. Let's get all the facts out.
Yes, so Pastor Saw is a Christian pastor who came to the United States about 30 years ago and met and married his lovely wife, Jamie, who's from North Carolina. They have two sons, Amos and Ben, and he just has lived literally his life out, living his faith and serving people that are less fortunate, and that included people in China, and for the last most recent years, it was people in northern Burma, which is the Wa state is what they call it, which they were severely impoverished. These people didn't have clothes. They didn't have just basic necessities. So his heart went out to them, and he wanted to provide not only clothes and food for them, but wanted to have education so that they could actually come out of their poverty.
Yeah. So this is a situation that's not that uncommon. But Harry, when we look at it from a individual level, you know, you could look at the macro level, you could talk about all these cases, but this is an individual's life that's being impacted directly by all this.
Absolutely. So overall, we should note that there's an ongoing crackdown on Christians in China. This particular case is particularly egregious. Pastor Saw has been sentenced to 7 years in prison, despite the absence of any evidence against him. Essentially, he is being punished for providing aid to impoverished people, and he's engaged in an effort to help people in the United States, China, and Burma for over 30 years, and he's done incredible work. He's established 16 schools, and I believe more than 2,000 students have been educated, and his detention simply reflects China's ongoing crackdown on Christians, and it's important to focus in, to drill down on this particular case, because it is representative of other cases that are ongoing in China.
Yep. So we know the China crackdown, Jordan, has been significant, but we also know that this is an individual that's being impacted by that crackdown.
Yeah, that's right. So there's the broader Chinese policy towards religion in their country, and then here they're dealing with someone who's got permanent residency in the United States, an American family who has already served, 2 years in prison for this specific these trumped up kind of charges and convictions, all relating because of their faith. So while simultaneously you see this larger crackdown of churches, even state sponsored churches and state approved churches being shuttered and closed and shut down in major urban areas in China, you also see the specific acts of persecution and the way that the system works, which is in this case, constant delays, constant postponements, where you are spent in horrendous conditions as well
right.
when it comes to the prison. So we see the big picture. China is not good for Christians. I think everyone pretty much recognizes that, but also to understand how it's impacting people personally.
But on the macro level, CC, we know also that 22 other Christians have been, that we know of minimally.
And
that's what we know, that what we're aware of.
Right.
But this is a problem in China.
It just recently got arrested in southwestern China. Yeah. So this kind of province, it's the Hunan province. So it's southern part, right on the border of northern Burma. And, we're seeing that in more of the rural parts of China, that there is this crackdown trying to stop Christian practice of their faith.
All right. So let's go to Than Bennett. Because, Than, I want to talk about getting the support necessary from Congress. So we don't just talk about these issues here. We're advocating actually in Congress, at the UN, at the various government agencies, State Department. But let's talk about Congress. You had meetings last week. Let's talk about those meetings.
Yeah, Jay, this is always one of the first things we do on one of these cases, to put a real face on a name in a case to make it real to the United States government. You mentioned the White House. We also met with the State Department. But on Capitol Hill, Jay, we met with both sides of the Hill. We met with the House and the Senate. In the House, Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina hosted us. There were representatives from many of the delegation's offices, including some Democrats, Jay, Congressman Butterfield, Congressman Price, and Congressman Adams, all of which are Democrats, were representatives at that meeting. Also, Ted Budd and David Rouser attended in person. And then over on the Senate side, Senator James Lankford, who's been so helpful on a number of these cases, hosted us with representatives from both North Carolina Senate offices, Richard Burr and Tom Tillis, and then also staffers from Steve Daines' office and Joni Ernst. And really the idea here, Jay, just so our listeners understand, a goal that we had for last week, and it's a goal that we have in a lot of these cases, is to get the United States government to speak with one unified voice about a case. In this case, we don't want there to be any more delays. That March 22nd appeal hearing deadline that is approaching, CC mentioned that China has pushed that back arbitrarily a number of times now. Look, there's a real opportunity for China to do the right thing here, but it starts with not pushing that hearing deadline back any further. So our goal on Capitol Hill last week was to get the United States government, both elected branches, to speak with one voice and to give China an opportunity to do the right thing by this American family. And Jay, I got to tell you, I think last week was a rousing success on that
so
endeavor.
You feel like the we got the House and the Senate, at least the process starting to develop now in a positive way.
It's great. And as a law firm,
what do you mean?
It is all the support that we had and the responses that we had from Ambassador Brownback and the meeting at the State Department, from Senator Lankford, from Representative Walker, and all the others that were there, and the Vice President's office. They're very much engaged. They very much care about this. They care about Americans and their families, whether they're here in the United States or elsewhere. And so we're very excited about the response. But what's great, too, is a law firm, we're able to provide specific, detailed information that a lot of times they don't have. So that was very helpful as well, as to just be able to exactly tell them what is going on, what the timelines are. What's the situation?
When we have a case like this, Jordan, you've handled a lot of these as well. What is the most important critical kind of functions that take place? What are the critical aspects?
It's keeping people, the focus on the individual. And so oftentimes families will come to us after the experience has gone on longer than they hoped or longer than they thought it would. So it's already hit these critical times where the imprisonment has lasted longer. Behind the scenes, quiet efforts have not been successful. And so the different levels of advocacy, obviously we've spoken out about this specific case. I will tell you, when it comes to China specifically, oftentimes that would not be the situation. But here, when you're already 2 years in to a case with constant delays in a kind of outer province in China, where you need to get the attention, also kind of build the story as well, so people understand who are you talking about, what are you talking about, because it's a place, obviously, where in a country like China, it is, you've still got the kind of government that can make a call and release someone, so that you know that there's not the separation of powers. At the same time, it's a different relationship that we have than with a country like Iran or North Korea. And so the U.S. is a critical trading partner, an economic ally,
yep.
even though we have very different ideologies domestically. So it's a unique situation. But again, all of this is about preserving the individual, too. It's making sure that individual, something doesn't happen to them in the short term.
Okay, so Harry, when I look at the situation as described by CC and Than, as far as progress that's been made, the fact of the matter is when we look at it, we know these things come incrementally. So this case has been around. I mean, this is not a case that's, you know, been around for 2 weeks. It's been a case that's been around for 2 years. Now, we've only been involved in it for now, what, CC, about 2 months?
Yes.
Yeah, about 2 months or so. But the case has been around for a couple of years.
Absolutely. So one of the things to keep in mind is despite Pastor Tsao's untroubled history over a number of years, really over a number of decades, everything changed in March 2017 when he was greeted by Chinese security agents, and he was singled out along with another Christian. And so one of the things that we need to do is we need to ensure that Pastor Tsao's fate and his continuing detention draws the attention of the American people, including members of Congress and including the White House. I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to have a sustained effort, and this may take weeks, could take longer,
right.
But we need a sustained effort that focuses on the fact that the behavior of the Chinese in this particular setting is totally unjustified. Pastor Tsao is not a threat to China's security.
All right, we're going to be taking some more depth in this, and we're going to hear from the son of Pastor Tsao coming up in just the next segment of the broadcast, so we're not going to want you to miss that. All right, again, Jordan's letting you how you could support the ACLJ, especially in our matching challenge month.
Yeah, ACLJ.org. We have a matching challenge right now. Whatever you can donate to the ACLJ, that is doubled. So you double the impact of your donation online at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We told you we would be joined. We try to make these cases really personal so you understand that it's a family that's involved in this. On the phone with us right now is Pastor John Saul's son, Ben. Ben, thanks for being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us a little bit about your dad before we get into the particulars of his case. Tell us a little about what your father does and just your experiences as the son of this Christian pastor.
Sure. So like you mentioned, my dad is a pastor first and foremost, but he's also a humanitarian, a teacher, and just an all-around amazing person who tries to embody the teachings of Jesus Christ and really share that across the world.
So your dad's been going, tell us a little bit about the work that he's been engaged in over the decades in China.
Yeah, so his work started off really small. He was just really trying to evangelize and minister to people in China that didn't have access to the word of Christ. It grew from there to be more of an international affair where he was traveling around all over the United States, speaking at churches, traveling around Europe and Southeast Asia. He eventually landed in a country called Myanmar, formerly known as Burma,
right,
where he was working with minority groups up in the mountains in Burma where they suffer extreme poverty. When he came across them, he saw children running around with no clothes, no clean water, no food, no churches or schools anywhere in their region. And he, you know, felt the love of Christ and felt the calling to provide food and clothes, education, and ministry to those people that were in need. He started in 2013 building his first school in Burma, and since he's built 16 schools.
And Ben, you talked about that you would minister sometimes with your dad and after earthquakes, and that he would, you know, be walking around with old shoes and need a new coat, but he wanted to spend his money and resources on others. Can you kind of share a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So in 2015, after the massive earthquake that hit Nepal, my father and I started a project there building houses for the earthquake victims. We ended up spending the whole summer in China and Nepal resourcing those materials and setting up the plans, and then ultimately spending a few weeks in Nepal building those houses. And throughout that project, my dad, you know, didn't really change clothes or shoes very often. Maybe had a couple pairs of clothes with him and one pair of shoes, and eventually, you know, wore holes through his shoes and didn't want to spend any of our money on extra shoes because, you know, he saw the need of the people in Nepal after that horrible earthquake and wanted to give every penny that he had to help them.
Yeah. So this isn't a man who's a criminal. This is a man who loves people.
Yep. Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, I think in this situation too, to explain what it's been like for the last couple of years, have you been able to have, I'm sure people wonder this, any kind of interaction with your dad, any communication at all with your dad? Ben?
I've had no direct interaction or communication with my father. I've heard from his lawyers who kind of relay filtered messages back to our family. And, you know, they tell my dad updates on, you know, my older brother and I whenever they can. But, you know, we've been pretty much completely cut off from him. My mother and my older brother flew to China and traveled all the way to Menglian, where he's being held to try to see him. And they weren't allowed any visitation. They weren't allowed to see him at all, not even, you know, through the gate or anything.
So, I mean, this is a little bit different than some of the other cases we've had. Although in Iran, Pastor Said Abedini was not given family too much. He got some family access. His parents could come in. In Brunson's case, Noreen was able to visit. Miriam Ibrahim's, I think the family was able to occasionally visit, even in Sudan.
Yes.
But here we've got one in China, and basically what Ben's saying, Harry, is no communication for 2 years.
Yes, and so I think the question that I have for you, Ben, is how has your dad's detention and your absence of communication impacted you and your family?
Yeah. So it's been a true struggle and a real test from God. It's, you know, tested our family ties. It's tested our faith. And I believe that we're going to come out on the better side of this. God's given us strength and he's given us hope and faith that my father will be released soon. You know, he's delivered an incredible blessing to us in the ACLJ, in CC Heil and Jay Sekulow. They're, you know, incredible miracle workers in and of themselves. So we feel that now is the time for him to be released, and we're very hopeful that it will be very soon now.
Fan, you've got a question for Ben?
Yeah, I mean, Ben and I had this conversation when they were here, but I just think it's a real credit to Jamie and Ben and Amos how they've really taken this cause on. Ben, you and I talked about how 2 Timothy talks about how Paul, he was in chains for the gospel, and it's really the same case for your father. You and Amos have really taken that mantle on of advocating for your father. I wondered if you could just talk for a minute about how you felt walking the halls of Washington, D.C., both down at the White House and in Congress, to see members of Congress and to see the United States government take up your cause. Maybe talk to our listeners a little bit about what that meant to you.
Yeah, so being in D.C. was pretty awe-inspiring, and I never saw myself in a position to interact with, you know, senators and congressmen of such a high stature. And it's a true blessing that God's delivered upon us to tell this story, tell my family's story, as well as the stories of others who are, you know, sacrificing for the Lord and their being persecuted for their beliefs. So I akin this story to Paul's very closely, and all pastors who are in prison for their faith and for their ministry are very similar to Paul. And I believe that type of persecution is unfortunately inevitable in our world, but it's something that we have to continuously fight and advocate for. And you know, God will deliver and God will provide everything that we need. So we haven't lost faith.
Yeah, Ben, I'm going to ask you to stay for the next segment if you can, because I want to ask you this question before we take a break in a minute, and that is this. We talked about the impact it's had on you. What about for your mom?
It's been even harder on my mom. You know, she is such a compassionate and empathetic person that she's kind of taken on the stress and the pain for the entire family, and she's been so incredible coordinating our effort for the better part of these 2 years before the ACLJ was involved, and she's been truly incredible, but it's been very hard on her, and there have been a lot of sleepless nights.
Yeah, I'm sure. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to hear from Ben a little bit later in the broadcast as well, and we're going to do another segment with Ben, and I think it's important for everybody to hear. It's important to hear, Jordan, from the families that are impacted by this, because when we look at it on the Be Heard Project, our websites, or email alerts that you get is one thing, but when you hear from the family, it's a whole different scenario.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a different situation. You understand what people are going through at the personal level, and I think that's very important. And we put the videos up for you. You can see it, Be Heard Project. And we put it up at ACLJ.org through the broadcast to be able to hear the stories directly, not just through us as advocates or through, again, from the political perspective or the government affairs perspective or even a grassroots perspective, but the personal side of this.
All right, I think this is it's important to understand that this is a real, Cece, really quickly, 15 seconds, 20 seconds here. This is a real family.
It's a real thing, and I tell you, you can see people's faces change when they meet family members. I mean, the same thing at the UN, when you sit a family member down and they say, it's my husband, and the whole room turns around, and that does not happen at the United Nations.
So I'll tell you, this is, I think, really important for people to understand. It is a family. It's an individual that's in jail in China, hasn't seen his family in 2 years. So again, your prayers for this make a huge difference. All right, we're back with another 30 minutes of the broadcast. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. We're going to Matching Challenge Month, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Your support makes a huge difference as we battle for freedom for Pastor John Saul and others. Back with more, including more with the pastor's son, Ben, coming up next.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Freedom.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Christian pastor John Saw has been a U.S. permanent resident for over 30 years. He has been now in jail for 2 years in China for his faith. He was working with those that were impoverished on the border of China and Burma, offering help, offering the gospel, offering food, offering education. He gets picked up for what was called an illegal act. Now that we know what that means in these countries. But what's interesting here is a point that CeCe's just pointed out during the break, and that is Pastor Saw actually received an award from the Chinese authorities prior to his arrest.
That's correct. So when Harry said, you know, he's not a threat to national security, that's exactly right. He's not a threat to national security. This is humanitarian, a man who's living out his faith, wants to help people. He actually was commended and received an award from the Chinese government for the work that he has done.
So what was the award for humanitarian efforts?
It was his humanitarian efforts, yes, because he goes into areas that people don't want to go to, and he helps these people. He helps the children. He educates them. So he's not a political dissident. He's a man who's simply living out his faith and helping underprivileged people.
So what we're working on right now is a multi-effort. We've been involved about 2 months. We've got the House and Senate. We've got the State Department. We now have the White House and both the President and the Vice President's office fully engaged on this. And Than, you had meetings, UNCC had meetings last week. And again, I want people to understand what we actually do in these cases. Tell us about those meetings.
Yeah, both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue here, Jay, down at the White House with the Vice President's office, staff from the NSC, the National Security Council, also Ambassador Brownback at the State Department, and then both sides of Capitol Hill. And Jay, I mean, we've talked about this before, but I really want people to understand this, that one of the reasons that we do it so comprehensively here in Washington, D.C., is we have found time and time again in these cases that when the United States speaks, the world follows. But it's very important that the elected branches of the United States government speak with one unified voice. So that was what we were trying to accomplish last week. Jamie, Pastor Saw's wife, did a great job, as did his sons, Ben and Amos, in advocating for their father and just telling the story. Jay, putting a real face on the imprisonment of Pastor Saw. And I do think that the United States voice from the government is going to be unified. Jay, we can talk about it more in depth as we go along here, but I really think these trade talks with China are a prime opportunity. I will tell you this. In previous administrations, if there were high-stakes economic talks going on, a human rights case like this one would be looked at as a distraction. That has not been the case with the Trump administration.
That is for
In fact,
sure.
It has been exactly the opposite.
Yep.
They have seen high-stakes economic talks as a way to give your negotiating partner an opportunity to do the right thing. Jay, I think it's very fortuitous that these things are coming to a head at the same time.
I mean, I think that the fact that these are specific individuals, knowing that you're not going to change China overnight,
right?
And you know, it's already changed a lot economically the way it's opened up, but recognizing this recent crackdown by the latest government, so there was kind of this period where churches were expanding. There was this kind of recognition of even illegal churches that were allowed to operate, a very large scale state-sponsored churches. That's all changing right now as we speak. At the same time, allowing making it about the individual themselves, I think, is very important. This administration, if it was other administrations, I think it'd be a difficult ask to make because of who is. It's not Turkey. It's not Iran. It's not North Korea. It's a partner economically that could cause a lot of issues. But this administration is not afraid of that. We know that we've got to be able to put it forward. I think that's the key here. As we discuss this case, as people learn about this and now start to meet the family as well. And then we've put that up at Be Heard and on our websites, aclj.org, to keep people updated on this.
All right, we're taking a break. We come back more in depth on this case and some others that we're handling. We want to spend today, get away from the politics for a moment and talk about a case where someone needs help. And that's what we do at the ACLJ, and we're telling you how we do it, and this gives you kind of a behind-the-scenes look at exactly how we engage these cases. All right, we'll be taking some of your comments, but also let me encourage you to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Do that at aclj.org, aclj.org. That is a great way for you to stay engaged. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ this month, we get a matching gift for it. It's a matching challenge month for us, so that's very, very important. Again, aclj.org. We're going to get into some of the particulars on this case in just a moment. We want to give you some of the behind the scenes, the kind of negotiations that take place during these. So we'll be back with more in just a moment.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about the case of Pastor John Saw. Our team, as I mentioned already, was in Washington last week working on this case. Our video team was able to attend as well to some of the meetings and to get some of the interviews. Take a look.
My dad is a very caring, very dedicated, very passionate missionary and very passionate pastor. He found Jesus Christ after traveling to the States when he was in his early 20s, and he went to a seminary here in the States.
Pastor John Saw was ordered by a Chinese court to spend 7 years behind bars, apparently in retaliation for his humanitarian work in Burma. John Saw's wife, Jamie, and sons Ben and Amos argue that his sentence should be reduced in light of his decades of humanitarian work.
I was carrying the burden of the case myself, our family was, with help with some advisors. So I was just, you know, working my way through it and writing letters to congressmen on my own. As, you know, I'm a teacher, I don't have a lot of connections, so it was a daunting task. I met Ms. Hale in D.C. last summer at a religious freedom conference. And she gave me her card. She offered to help me. And I'm just so grateful to her. I'm so grateful.
One of the most important ways we can defend religious liberty and defend the type of cause that my father devoted his life to is to just speak up and say that this is important. And that's something that my father really dedicated his life to, which is bringing Christianity and the good news of Christ to people in parts of the world that needed it the most.
John's family, including his wife and younger son in North Carolina, and Amos, his eldest son in Michigan, argue that the pastor's sentence should be reduced in light of his decades of humanitarian work.
His wife, Jamie, his sons, Ben and Amos, are putting a personal face on the story of persecution. Nothing so powerful as having the persecuted's family in front of elected officials and asking them to engage for him.
It's been very encouraging to me to see the current administration taking such a strong stance on religious freedom around the world. This is a perfect case for them to focus on.
My father's been in prison for 2 years now. We feel the time is now. There's a sense of urgency there that we need to get his story out and make people aware that there are people like my father who are in prison in foreign countries for their faith, for trying to help other people and spread the gospel.
So we just saw part of the North Carolina House delegation, and they have agreed to engage from the congressional side. So we'll coordinate with the House and the Senate, hopefully time their response to match the administration's response. And also, hopefully, it'll come the same week that Ben and Amos are going to be able to speak out on behalf of their father. together on an international stage. So the goal here is to get the United States to speak with one voice and at the same time.
We just met with Senator Lankford's office, and Senator Lankford's a great advocate for Christians who are persecuted for their faith all over the world. He has committed to helping, you know, do whatever it takes to get Pastor Saw out of prison.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. The congressmen seemed really attentive.
We'll get that.
And they realize that the amount of time to take action is growing pretty narrow.
We feel really strongly that this story should be shared and that people should know.
What you just saw was the footage that we had our team put together for you of some of the events that took place last week. I want to go right to Washington first, though. I think it's important for people to understand. Fan, what are we asking for when we sit down with members of the Congress?
Well, we're asking for a couple of things, Jay. First of all, we're asking for the United States Congress to speak out in the first place. But obviously, in order for them to advocate for a person who's been detained by a foreign country, you have to tell them the story. And, Jay, there is no better way to tell the story than to bring the wife of the prisoner, to bring the sons of the prisoner directly to them, and to let them tell not only the story of the case, Jay, but the story of their life and why their husband and father was in China in the first place. Of course, you've told the story, but it's to serve the people of China, the people of Burma. And Jay, Jamie, his wife, and his sons, Ben and Amos, were able to do that so effectively. So their ask, our ask alongside of them, was for the United States Congress to engage their counterparts in China on behalf of Pastor Saw and to ask for his release. Jay, this does not have to be an antagonistic relationship. This can be the United States government just simply putting the case back in front of the Chinese government and saying, look, there have been these arbitrary delays. It is time to actually hear the facts of the case. And we think that the facts of the case will warrant his immediate release after 2 years of being detained and a reunification with his family. Jay, I know we heard from Ben. He is actually engaged to be married. He wants his father to be here for that wedding. So that was a powerful message for him to share with members of the United States Congress. And it gives them an incentive to engage, Jay. In many cases, these were North Carolina representatives, North Carolina senators. Yep. So it's actually their job to represent the Saw family.
So Janice on Facebook says, no one should be in prison because of their faith. Can the U.S. government help towards a resolution? Well, we've just told you, House and Senate fully engaged now. White House, including the President and Vice President office, fully engaged. What about the State Department, Cece?
Yes, State Department fully engaged. We personally met with Ambassador Brownback, who is the Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, and he is a great champion, just like President Trump, for Americans. And so very much engaged. We're very thankful for that assistance.
Harriet, you see the crackdown going on in China generally, though. We're talking about the individual case because it's important to point that out. But there's been an increase in crackdown.
There has been an increasing crackdown by the Chinese. But it's also important to remember that there is a new sheriff in town. I think President Trump continues to demonstrate that he can negotiate with China, for instance, on economic affairs or trade, but he can also put America's interests first rather than lead from behind. So rather than exercise, if you will, strategic patience, he is prepared to act, and hopefully President Trump, along with the State Department, the House, and the Senate, they will place pressure on the Chinese to release Pastor Saw, who has been held unjustly for 2 years.
So, Jordan, when we look at kind of where we're at, we've got this, where I call it the critical phase. And I think we've increased the critical. We've gone past the threshold. The threshold is, how do you engage the House and Senate? Done. How do you engage the Secretary of State's office, State Department? Done. How do you engage the President and the Vice President? Done. That's all good signs. Now we've got international pressure as well.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, getting people involved through the grassroots efforts through ACLJ, through our members through the Be Heard Project as well. And then ultimately keeping that pressure mounted, keeping the people engaged in the grassroots side of this while the conversations are ongoing and the discussions happen between our government, and whether it's our government officials, whether it's whether it's the President of the United States and the President of China, or the elected representatives, ambassador level, State Department level, making sure this is on the radar. This is not, again, when you're talking about countries like the United States, or in this instance, China, it's a lot of work to get on the radar of the Chinese government. And for an individual to be on the radar of the national Chinese government to the President of China is a very specific person. And so when we talk these broad crackdowns and broad issues that Christians are facing, here's the example of how the persecution gets personal where it's not just shutting down of a building, but how the imprisonment occurs, what kind of charges get brought, how those charges get expanded upon, how the case continues, the imprisonment continues. I mean, this is someone who, in a sense, I mean, has already suffered enough, has suffered a serious punishment. I think that can't go. Again, we're talking 2 years in on a Chinese prison sentence.
All right. I think the other fundamental issue that we've got to deal with here is the impact this is having on the family. We heard from Ben. But what's your sense? You've been with the family, Cece. Give us a little bit of the personal side of this.
Yeah, you know, they're heartbroken, and they always are, because it's a husband and a father that's wrongfully imprisoned in China. And they miss their dad. They miss their, you know, Jamie misses her husband, and they want him back in the United States. Ben wants to be able to get married and go on with his life, and he doesn't want to do that without his father. So it's, you know, it's heartbreaking for them.
All right. So I'll tell you what you look at in a situation like this is the reality that you've got to move. From a standpoint of congressional interest, where would you rank this one right now, Than? I know there was not a lot of discussion about this before we got involved at the congressional level. So you had to really build it from scratch.
We did, Jay. It's elevated now, and having the family in front of them, getting them to hear the story directly from the family was very critical. But, Jay, one of the things that we always do, and I know, you know, you lead us in this effort, we're always looking for leverage points. And you know, fortunately, we have a real leverage point at this point. Sometimes it's pressure. Jay, in this instance, we also have an additional leverage point. It's those economic talks that are taking place with China. And, again, this administration has done a great job when there's an economic issue on the table of using human rights cases as a way for the parties to find some common ground. So, Jay, there are opportunities now where the United States is sitting across from China, and we know that this is now one of those issues that is coming up. We know that this human rights case is in the middle of those economic talks where both countries, Jay, want to find a solution. So I think the congressional interest being elevated was accomplished last week. I do think it's critical, but I also think it's critical that there are both positive and negative leverage points that we've identified, and we know that the administration is committed to using both of them. We're grateful to them. Jay, I think all of those things are going to be critical for a positive outcome here.
All right, we're working on this case and working on it aggressively. We'll take your comments again on Facebook and Periscope. We've got a couple of those we want to read. We have more coming up. Last segment of the broadcast again. If you want to support the work of the ACLJ, I can't think of a better day to do it as we work on these cases. And we talk about it globally, but at the end of the day, these cases come down to an individual person. This case, it's John Saw. He's a U.S. permanent resident. Families are all American citizens. He's been in China, working in China for decades. All of a sudden, gets arrested, and here we are. All right, we'll take again. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference, especially in a matching challenge month.
Yeah, that's right. ACLJ.org. You can double the impact of your donation. A $20 donation becomes $40 for the ACLJ. Our matching challenge up now at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. Last segment of the broadcast. We were joined earlier in the broadcast by Ben Saw. That is the son of Pastor Saw. And I think it's really important to hear from him again. But before I do, I want to quickly recap everything that we've done so far. Let's start with what's happened in Washington. Than?
Yeah, last week, Jay, the Pastor Saw's family was here in Washington with us. His wife, Jamie, his sons, Ben and Amos, they were, of course, the best advocates that we have. We visited with the White House, the Vice President's office, the National Security Council staff. We visited with Ambassador Brownback, and then we engaged both sides of the Hill, the United States House and the United States Senate. Again, Jay, the goal here was to get the United States government to speak out with one voice on behalf of Pastor Saw. Look, I think the strength of the Saw family last week, Jay, was remarkable. But one of the things that we told them was that we've all got an obligation. Those of us who are free, Jay, have an obligation to engage for those who are not, and that's what we can be. We can be the nexus between the United States government, the Saw family, and those of us who will advocate on the ground. Jay, that's what last week was all about.
All right, that's the U.S. side.
We start international efforts, which we already have started. We've already submitted written submissions to the U.N. We'll do oral interventions in Geneva at the Human Rights Council, the 40th session, and we will also meet with the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention.
Yeah, so explain the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention. So we had great results in that, yes, in regard to Turkey, where we won.
We did.
Not only did they say Pastor Brunson was unjustly held, but that they should be entitled to damages because of what they did.
That is correct, yeah. So the Working Group is basically an arm of the United Nations, and they take on, obviously, they get requests to look into and investigate thousands, tens of thousands of cases. If they decide to take the case, then they actually do an investigation and they send requests to China and they have to answer. And then we step in and start answering, like we're filing a petition and having replies. And if they get an opinion, I mean, it matters because it's on the stage.
I am praying that we get the release of Pastor Saw before we have time for the arbitration committee to work, but because I think we're making a lot of progress. Harry, from a policy standpoint, the message you say that's very important here very quickly is the president puts the humanitarian efforts while he's negotiating the finances.
Absolutely, that he needs to continue to put them on the table side by side with the economic discussions.
All right, Jordan, we're going to get right back to Ben in a minute here. But from your standpoint, looking at, you've done a lot of these, you look at the situation, how do you see the case poised right now?
I think it's at the unique situation where you're about to get the attention of the leaders in China at the highest level. And you go through points along these stages where if you don't have to go there, you don't always need to go there because it can be diplomatically complicated when you start talking about heads of state level and the largest country in the world by population. So, but it's at that point now where the local government has not resolved this. And ambassador level has not resolved it. So a head of state who in a place like China can step in and get the right thing done here very quickly.
So in that sense, let me go right back to the son, or one of the sons. It's Ben Saw. It's one of the sons of the pastor. And Ben, I want you first to send the message that you want to send to the American people that are listening to this broadcast from coast to coast about your dad and about the situation your family's in. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so my message for the American people is to please pray for my father, my family, and the children that my father was working to help in Burma. And, you know, without him, they're now without schools, without food, and without water. And please keep them in your hearts and minds.
So when we talk about that, Ben, we've talked about the situation with your mom. Has anybody from your family, any family member, had contact with your father in the last 24 months?
I believe my grandmother was able to visit him on his birthday. May 3rd, 2018 was the last time he had contact with anyone outside the family, outside the prison.
And I think that was just being able to look at each other. I don't think they were actually able to engage because in China, they don't let anyone visit, not the family members, no one. The only people that can visit are the attorneys.
Can you, is he getting updates? Is your dad getting updates from the lawyers? Do the lawyers are able to communicate?
That's the only way that he can get updates is through the lawyers.
I want to be very practical here for everybody that's listening to the broadcast. We talk about these cases at the macro level. You got persecution against Christians. We're bringing it down to the individual. And we're taking a full hour of the broadcast today to do this because it's really important to understand that there's really a life impact. Whether it was Saeed Abedini, whether it was Andrew Brunson, whether it was Miriam Ibrahim, whether it was Asiya Bibi, I list all the cases. Yousef Nardakhani, who's now back in jail in Iran after we got him out the last time, that these are real people that are really impacted. Tell us about your other siblings and how this has impacted them, Ben.
Yeah, so I have one older brother who's up in Michigan finishing his PhD, and it's been really hard on him too. It's, incredibly hard for the whole family. He's, had to juggle his PhD student work with teaching, with trying to figure out solutions for this case and traveling to China. So it's a hard burden on all of us.
So you've got siblings impacted. You said your mother's been impacted. What about when you're out in your community, your friends, what are they telling you?
My friends are incredibly supportive. They're also helping to find solutions. They're praying every day, and they're extremely empathetic. My fiance and I are having to postpone our wedding indefinitely until my father can come home, and they're all, clamoring and waiting for us to get married because, they've been excited for years. We've been engaged for 2 years now. Yep. And, my poor fiance has had to, endure this struggle along with me, and she's been incredibly supportive, and I love her dearly. And, it's hard for her as well to have to postpone a marriage and go through this family struggle with us.
I think that for everybody listening right now, it would help to know, too. I mean, just the situation, this was not unusual for your dad making these trips back and forth to China. You know, this was not a one-off occasion. This was something normal for the family, too, that he was doing this work.
Yeah, so when we first lost contact with my father, I had no idea that he was being detained. I thought this was just another routine trip through to Burma that he had made dozens of times, and he would often go weeks without communicating with us because there's no cell reception, there's no internet up in the mountains of Burma. So we thought this was just another routine trip to visit one of his 16 schools that he had built in the last 4 years, and it just turns out that it wasn't routine at all.
So, because there's nothing routine in these situations. So let me tell everybody this. And Ben, thanks for being with us today. It really helps to put the family on air to understand what this is and what you're dealing with. Let me take it a step further here for our audience. Pray for, very important, pray for John Saul. That's number one. He is in prison in China because of his faith. So pray for him. That's one. Number two, pray for CeCe. Pray for Than as they're leading their efforts in Washington, and CeCe's handling the international side, and Than is dealing with Congress to build that support up, and pray for their teams that are working on this. We don't just talk about these cases, not just media advocacy. We're engaged on these as a whole host of issues. And three, I think we've had a critical crossroads here, Jordan. You mentioned it quickly, and that was by getting the president and the vice president to engage, that changes the dynamic.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, that's how you take it to the highest level possible, also with the Chinese government. And so their officials cannot ignore it whether it's at the embassy level or representative level.
And Harry, you're pleased that it's part of you got negotiations going on with the economy, trade. That'll be helpful, actually.
Absolutely. But I also think we need persistence on the part of the administration and Congress, and I think we will receive that.
All right. So pray for Ben Saul, pray for his family, pray for Pastor John Saul, his wife, and your support of the ACLJ lets us do this, and we're in a matching challenge. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Than, quickly, you think that we've got the right moves going in Congress?
We've got the right moves, Jay, but it's a critical juncture. He's been in prison for 2 years now and got that March 22nd deadline. People need to engage, Jay. This is the critical juncture.
All right, ACLJ.org to sign on to that petition, ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.